Sermon 15. Joyful devotion flowing from the grace of the gospel and thanksgiving returning to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Beloved saints, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is the word spoken about the collection and sharing that take place within the church. However, this chapter is not simply a word encouraging offering. The Apostle Paul is explaining in this chapter the fruit of grace that appears in the life of a person who believes the gospel. That is, it is a word showing with what kind of heart a person who believes the gospel serves God and the saints. Paul first speaks of the zeal of the saints of the Corinthian church. He already boasted to the Macedonian churches that the Corinthian church was prepared for the work of serving the saints. Actually, the Corinthian church had been preparing the collection since a year ago. Their zeal gave a great influence to other churches as well. However, Paul is being careful about one thing. That is to ensure that this work is not done simply by human face-saving or outward zeal. So he sent the brothers first, to make the collection be prepared in advance. Paul wanted this collection to become a devotion coming from a true heart, rather than being done by force. So he speaks a very important principle. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. This word is not speaking of a simple law of material things. This is speaking of the principle of God's grace. God looks at a person's heart, and he looks at from what kind of heart the devotion offered to God comes. So Paul continues and says like this, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. God rejoices in devotion offered with joy, not devotion offered by force. This is a very important fact. If a person offers something by force, that is not true devotion. However, when one realizes the grace God has bestowed, gratitude naturally arises in a person's heart, and that gratitude comes to appear as a life of offering with joy. Looking from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, this principle is very clear. Jesus Christ came to this earth and received baptism from John the Baptist. That baptism was not a simple religious ceremony, but the event of bearing the sins of the world. By Jesus receiving baptism from John, the sins of mankind were passed on to him. And Jesus, while bearing those sins, shed blood on the cross and received the judgment of sin. This is exactly the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus solved all our sins through his baptism and the cross, and God confirmed the gospel of salvation by raising that Jesus from among the dead. A person who believes this gospel realizes the fact that his sins have already been solved. He is no longer a person under condemnation, but a person who has become reconciled with God. He has become a child of God and has obtained eternal life. When one realizes this fact, deep gratitude arises in a person's heart, and that gratitude comes to appear in life. So Paul says, he says that God makes all grace abound so that we, having sufficiency in everything, may have an abundance for every good deed. This word shows a very important fact. God is not one who merely gives us what we need, but the God who supplies grace so that we can do good works. God gives seed and food to the sower. Likewise, God gives grace to the saints to make them bear the fruit of righteousness. So Paul says that the saints will be enriched in everything to make a generous collection. However, what is important here is not merely material sharing. It is what kind of thing happens as a result of that collection. Paul says like this, "For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. The work of serving the saints does not end merely as the work of helping people. Through that serving, many people come to thank God. That is, the collection and serving become not a simple human sharing, but a work that gives glory to God. And another important thing happens. Through that work, people come to see the fact that the saints of the Corinthian church are genuinely believing and obeying the gospel of Christ. In other words, the sharing and serving of the saints become the evidence showing the genuineness of the gospel. The life of a person who believes the gospel is surely changed. That person comes to live a life of serving others, no longer a person who lives only for himself. And the people who received that serving come to thank God and pray for them. Like this, love, gratitude, and prayer toward one another come to flow within the church. So Paul says like this at the end, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. The gift spoken of here is exactly the grace of salvation through Jesus Christ. This is God's gift that cannot be fully expressed with human words. Beloved saints, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 shows an important appearance that manifests in the life of a person who believes the gospel. A person who believes the gospel is not a person who serves God by force. He is a person who serves God with joy, because he has realized God's grace. A person who believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit is a person who knows the fact that Jesus bore his sins. He is a person who knows the grace of salvation accomplished through Jesus' baptism and the cross. So in his life, gratitude appears, sharing appears, and serving appears. And through that life, glory comes to be returned to God. This is exactly the fruit of the gospel that 2 Corinthians chapter 9 shows, and the work of grace that appears in the life of a person who believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit.